Blog Talk Radio.
Let her go, Chadwick. Turn up your radio. Bail the whiskey and drink it down slow. It's Whiskey Bant in the pit. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't shit outlaw barbecue show. He's an all-night smoker, a cold beer holder. His spare ribs will blow your mind. And with his Cosmos Q and his Green Mountain Grill, he'll walk the stage every time. Turn on your radio, crack a beer, Chad's ready to go. It's Whiskey Ben in the pit all night, late night. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't right. Outlaw Barbecue Show. Whiskey Ben in the Pit Radio Show. Good for the egg shakes and saggy. Can I get a raise? Hell, come on.
Woo! There we are. Dorsey Odell, Team Unknown Barbecue brings us in each and every week here in the pit. I want to welcome you guys. Today is June 4th, Tuesday, June 4th, 2013. Dang, that's a call I really need to take, but I kind of can't. So I guess I'll catch it after the show. Anyway, good to talk to you guys. Sorry about last week. Had a couple things come up last minute there, and we had to push off on the show. So sorry about that. This week we've got a great one lined up. As you guys know, season, I guess, what is it, five, maybe? Five of Pitmaster? Season five, season four? There was like this whole 4A, 4B thing. Kind of got me thrown off. But I'm going to go ahead and say season five of Barbecue Pitmasters. Kicked off last night. Actually, it was in Pensacola smoking on the square, which, by the way, has one of the best event organizers ever, Ivan, up there. If you ever want to go cook it, go do it. You won't be disappointed. We cooked it this year while they were filming. And Eric Thomas from the Rolling Grill is going to be our first guest tonight. He barely lost to Dave Bosca, Butcher's Barbecue, last night. I think Eric gave Dave a good run for the money there. And I got to talk to Eric a little bit. I met Eric back the last Best of the Best that Kel Phelps did. So let's call that 2010, maybe? 2010, 2011. That's where I met Eric at the first time. We had met on Twitter, et cetera. And then that was the first time we met up in person. Great guy. Look forward to having him on the show now, tonight, and learn all about the Rolling Grill, learn all about the show. I will tell you, man, these boys didn't tense up. They were hammering down, and they're having a couple of drinks, and I like to see it, man. They were just being themselves, and him and his partner, they did a great job. So Eric's going to kick it off for us. Eric Thomas, the Rolling Grill. Second guest, second interview tonight will be Stacy Haynes and Ronnie Cates, no strangers to this show, Smoke on the Water Productions. A couple things to talk about. We've got the Tunica contest coming up. We've got Pine Bluff, and we've got the big details and announcement about the first weekend of October there on the boardwalk in New Jersey. And before all you guys start, yes, the Cates family and Smoke on the Water Productions is well aware that's the same weekend as the American Royal. And if you're going to go cook the American Royal, go cook it. From a Whiskey Bent Barbecue point of view, we've done that. We've got that feather in our cap, but we've never cooked in the state of New Jersey. And note to self, there's a hell of a lot more money up for grabs in New Jersey. So that's where you'll probably find us the first weekend of October. And we're also going to talk about the first weekend of November, which is Laughlin, Nevada, $100,000contest, $50,000 truck, all taxes paid, the whole nine yards, going to the grand champion. So that is going to be pretty kick-ass. Speaking of big money real quick before we talk about our third guest, was talking to Chuck from the Apopka FBA contest a couple of weekends ago in Oviedo, and we'll talk about Oviedo in a second also. Man told me the second-year contest, and next year it's the second weekend of February, so you got Pigfest, you got Frank's event, and Winter Haven on the FBA side of things. the following weekend's Chuck's event in Apopka, which is right outside of Orlando for you folks that aren't local to the area. Dude, old boy said second year contest, he's going to go ahead and drop 10 G's on the GC. So it is going to be amazing to see what that contest does. And he's still going to pay 10 deep per category and overall. So you just don't get any better return for your money than that. So it's going to be interesting to see what that contest does. Probably definitely going to go down as the richest contest in the FBA right now. So congratulations to Chuck and his group on continuing to raise the bar and not just staying with the status quo from last year. My apologies, guys. I tried to mute that, but I'm on this new Windows 8 laptop and did not have the mute button right where it used to be on my old junky whatever other Windows I used to run on whatever laptop. So, yes, Blake Moody, 10 grand. 10 grand for GC right here in Florida, man. Chuck and the boys aren't messing around over there at Apopka. Third guest tonight, good friend of mine. Great guy. If you've never met Jeff Kayer from Swinos, you are missing out. Band director, real estate mogul, car investor, and above all, pitmaster of Swinos BBQ. Love Jeff to death, man. Him and his team, they're awesome guys. Known him for a long time. Really, really cool dudes. And Jeff's, you know, got a lot of respect within the FBA. So he actually is on a, I don't know if it's a project team, a committee, what they call it. But he's got a revised scorecard that I feel like is very, very cooker friendly. Yes, you're right, Doug Francis. Also don't leave out that Jeff Kayer is a brewmaster. So yes, brewmaster also to the Jeff Kayer resume. Dude, I mean, I only got 25 minutes scheduled tonight. It may take that long just for his damn introduction. That's the kind of guy we're dealing with tonight, folks. But, yes, so Jeff will come on. We're going to talk about this new scorecard. If you want to look at it before the segment, go over to the Whiskey Book Facebook – yeah, Whiskey Bent Facebook page and check it out. You'll see it right there. There's a link to it, a little Adobe file. But check it out. It is definitely worth a look-see. I love it. The more feedback, the better. So we need to make that happen. All right, a couple things. First off, we cooked a couple weekends ago over in Oviedo. First-year contest, 46 teams. So great contest, great turnout. Angela and her folks did one heck of a job putting that contest on. Really, really enjoyed it. We had a good time. We had a good contest. Finished fifth overall, but we got four calls. We went first in chicken, which had been a while since we won a category. Did nine in ribs, nine in pork, and fifth in brisket, fifth overall. As you may have seen on the Facebook page, went ahead and called it out there. Once again, as we've done numerous times on the show, just the declaration that the Imperial Polk County is the county in the southeast for competition barbecue. Five out of your six top teams were from the Imperial Polk County there in Oviedo. So, guys, just once again, when you're at your contest site, doesn't matter FBA, KCBS, you start seeing that contingent of Imperial Polk County teams show up. Realize shit just got real. It got real, real. So, once again, proud to be part of it. Imperial Polk County's been cooking competition barbecue since competition barbecue's been around, and it's cool to see that we got so many damn good teams. Congratulations to Doug Francis out there in chat tonight. He goes sixth overall at Oviedo. I know his reaction, it was worth $1 million, man. He was very, very excited, and it was just cool to see. I was really, really happy for him and Biggie and Valerie and the team over there that was there that weekend. So really, really good job, buddy. So, anyway, a couple things to talk about before we get into bringing Eric on board. And that is talk a little bit about this cooking class we got coming up at the Hyatt. So, just got done putting everything together today, kind of final touches, getting it over to their team as far as what I need to get brought in and all that stuff. But pretty much it's going to be the Hyatt Regency Coconut Point. $125 to attend the class. We're going to do five different recipes. We're going to do our competition brisket, our competition pork butt. We're going to do that on Saturday afternoon, starting at 4 o'clock. So we'll probably work on brisket and butts until from 4 till probably 7, 7:30. Everything. You know, meat selection, we're going to be cooking prime briskets. We're going to be cooking Berkshire or Duroc, whichever ones we can get a hold of, pork butts. We're going to be going through the meat selection process, the injection process, the rubbing process. You're going to find out what our we've went both ways, and kind of right now we're in a little bit of a hybrid mode. I've always talked about, you know, how well commercial rubs work, and they do. And we use a lot of commercial rubs, but there's certain things that we make ourselves. So you're going to get, if you want to do it the homemade way, here's how you can do it. And you're also going to get what flavor profiles we use on a on kind of a store-bought, or not store-bought, commercially available point of view. So you'll get that. So we'll go through seasoning, we'll go through cooking, we'll go through the cooking process and times and temperatures, all that fun stuff. Nothing will be held back. It will be full flavor profiles, the whole nine yards. We are actually starting to fill up, which is pretty cool. Capped the class at 100. But we've got some really, really, by doing it at a top-end resort, I mean, this is a, you know, Travel and Leisure has ranked the Hyatt Coconut Point one of the top 50 resorts in the country. And the nice thing about that is they got a pretty kick-ass AV department. So we're talking about, you know, 60-inch screens, cameras everywhere, all that fun stuff that says, hey, it's going to be a good time. So looking forward to it. So that's going to be Saturday. We'll get the meat on the smoker, all that fun stuff. And then when we wrap that up Saturday night, everybody go back, have a little bit of dinner, get a shower, and then we'll have some drinks Saturday night and kind of fireside chat it. I think you get two free drinks with your admission to the class, which thank me for that. As a pit master that likes to have a whiskey or two, I definitely thought that was what they needed to throw in the picture there. And all the folks over at Coconut Point said, that's awesome, let's do it. And then on Sunday, we'll pull the pit off we'll pull the meat off the pit. About eight in the morning, probably. Kind of take a look at things, you know, talk about the different muscles, what we see after we cooked, what we're going to do with our au jus, all that fun stuff. Some kind of different things there that have been working for us. And then we're going to go over into kind of a grilling side of the class. We're going to do a grilled skirt steak, grilled thick cut loin pork chops, and chicken breast. So I think it'll be fun to talk a little bit more about that indirect sear, some of the different things we do that we find a lot of value in on the grilling side of things, and what's helped us not only be recognized as a great barbecue team, but also anybody that's been to a cookout will say probably some of the more tender and juicy steaks and chicken that you have ever ate. So we'll be sharing those techniques with you. Wraps all up about noon. And then we get to feast on our wares. We'll be having a barbecue lunch from noon to 2. If you're bringing the family down, you know, you can come to the class, you know, whoever, mom or dad. It's Father's Day, but whoever wants to attend the class, or both of you can, whatever the case may be. But if you have somebody travel with you that doesn't attend the class, boom, there's an option there to go ahead and pay, just to pay to attend the lunch later on in the day, and that could be just as much fun. So I will repost the ad on the Facebook page here this evening. I meant to do it earlier, but had a little bit of problems with the computer. So I will do that right after the show's over, so you can take a look. And right there will be all your numbers that you need to contact, either numbers or emails, to sign up. So look forward to seeing you guys there. You're going to be seeing a lot of media behind it here the next 2 weeks. So just bear with us. We're wanting this to be a real win for Coconut Point, Whiskey Mint Barbecue, and hopefully long-term, the Hyatt Hotel chain. So that being said, I want to thank Southern Bread Smokers. That's what we'll be cooking on down there. Going to have a couple SBS's, Grand Champions going, and a couple other different grills to do some of the grilling on Sunday with. So that'll be a good time. But Southern Bread Smokers, you guys, the proof's in the pudding. As I've said many times before, 2012 was our worst year as a competition team, and you know, cooking on the same old cookers, cooking the same flavor profiles, and came to the end of last year, and Jared and I looked at each other and said, man, you know, something's got to change. Getting talking to, you know, a good friend of ours and relative, Adam Norman, over at GMF Industries. Adam had been working on some prototypes, et cetera. He goes out, wins backyard pork with this SBS smoker and says, hey, I need some guys to come on and give me a little bit of expertise on how we fine-tune this thing. And we jumped in, started cooking on one in Plant City, and haven't looked back since. We love it. Gravity-fed smoker, built-in draft system. That cooker never gets 1 or 2 degrees away from where it needs to be. Real happy. I mean, I think I was looking back. We've cooked 12 contests on it, and I don't think we finished outside the top 10 except for I think we're 9 of 12. Don't quote me on that. We're either 8 of 12 or 9 of 12. Since we've been cooking on SBSs, I think we've had, what was the number, 34, 35, no, not that big, 28, 29 walks since we've been cooking on it. So we're really really happy with it. So if you want to check it out, southernbreadsmokers.com. Southernbreadsmokers.com. You got any questions, you can obviously always reach out to me under the many, many ways to get a hold of us. WhiskeyBentBBQ@gmail.com, WhiskeyBent or WhiskeyBentBBQ on Facebook, Twitter at WhiskeyBentBBQ, and we will just leave it at that. With that being said, guy that was lighting up Destination America Airways last night, Eric Thomas. Eric, you there, buddy?
I'm here. What's going on, Chad?
How you doing, partner? Haven't seen you in a while.
Man, I'm great, man. I've been working, actually. I've been away from the competition circuit for a minute, man, so I'm looking forward to getting back. I've just been very busy with catering, but I'm looking forward to getting back out there, man.
Well, you know what, man? That's always a good problem to have, right?
Oh, hell yeah. You know, as we say down here, man, purse first. You got to make that money first, or you can't even think about competing.
Hey, buddy. Absolutely, absolutely. So we're going to... You've got the long segment for tonight, so me and you're gonna go about 45 minutes. So we're gonna go from soup to nuts here, and kind of talk about how the Rolling Grill got started, where your passion for barbecue comes from, and all that. Are you settled in and ready for that, my man?
Oh yeah, I'm good, man. I'm actually out here cooking on the smoker right now for a catering gig I got going on. But no, I'm good, man. I'm locked in. Whatever you want to talk
now
about.
Now the other part I got to ask is, I mean, do you have a little something in your hand keeping you warm?
Man, I've got a nice natural light in a cold glass right now. Natural ice.
Bro, I kind of feel like you're paying penance, man, to the host, drinking a natty light. Man, I appreciate that, man. That is rock on.
Yes, sir, man. It's the only drink I know that you can still get up in the morning and check your damn meat after you finish drinking a 12-pack.
Absolutely. Now, I'm going to let you on to something. Are you much of a vodka drinker at all, Eric?
You know, I do, man. I dibble and dabble in the Ciroc every now and again.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, man. The best deal going today, and I'll tell you, this is what I drink, and I can have maybe one or two too many than I should and still feel great the next morning. If you go to Sam's has this. It's called Rue 33, R-U-E-33. And it's made by the makers of Grey Goose, but they make it exclusively for Sam's.
Okay.
175 of this stuff's like $24, $25. And I do it with sparkling water and a little splash of cranberry. Maybe a little lime to top it off if I'm feeling fruity. and man, it's just a nice, refreshing drink. And once again, like you said, man, it's not like when you go to start checking meat at 4 or 5 in the morning, you're like, oh yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly,
what's going
man.
On? Yeah, no. So that's one that I put in the arsenal here lately. Thought I'd share with you. Rue 33. Yeah. Next time
Rue
33, you're in Sam's.
Okay.
Yeah. Next time you're in Sam's that has a liquor club, check it out. It's. I've been really, really impressed by it.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to have to look for that. You know, it's hard to find a Sam's or a liquor club down here in Georgia, man. Like, I don't even know. I've never seen one, but, hell, I mean, I'm going to look for it anywhere in the grocery store. I mean, in the liquor store. Rue 33,
yeah.
I'm on it.
So great, brother. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, I was telling folks earlier before you called in, you know, me and you kind of met up kind of through Twitter to start with and went back and forth there, and then we got a chance to meet each other at what I hate to say was the last Best of the Best that Kel Phelps put on. you know, just because I love Kel to death, man. He's a great guy.
Yeah, me too, man. Yeah, he's a good guy, man.
Even though we had a really, really bad weather that weekend, it was pretty, you know, it was pretty kick-ass to get to meet you there and kind of hang out, because that's a heck of an event, man. I think we talked about it that day. As a cook team, if you cook the invitation on the open for $225, you got a chance at $50,000 in prize money. It's a pretty damn good deal, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I'm telling you, man, I wish he would bring that event back. I don't know why they stopped it, but, you know, we had a very good time down there. And that was the year I met you down there was actually the first year I had ever gone. But,
it was ours, too.
Yeah.
It was the first year we had went, man. That's why I hate it. It was kind of like, you know, grand opening, grand closing for us new guys, and that stunk.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's a class act, man. I like Phil, man. I like Kel, man. Kel's a good guy. So, and he's all barbecue. If you ever met him, like, he'll get in there with you and get a drink just like everybody else. He's all about having a good time and barbecue. So, yeah, I got a number of respect for Kel.
No, man, just a good fella. So let's talk a little bit about where this all started. You know, you said on the show, I think, that you started the Rolling Grill, what, 2004?
2004 is really when it started in my mind. 2005 is really when it was active.
Excellent. So talk a little bit about your background, where you're from, where you live now, Eric, and kind of where did this passion for food start at?
All right. Well, you know, I'm originally from Chicago, man, born and raised in Chicago. My roots are from Mississippi, though. My mom and my dad are both from Mississippi. And, you know, I went to college in Mississippi. You know, I did some time in the military. And in the military, I've been cooking all my life. But in the military, when I was stationed in Texas, at Fort Hood, Texas, that's really probably, I mean, I was cooking barbecue before that with my father and my in-laws. But that's probably really when I first got a real taste of what smoked barbecue was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, up north sometimes, a lot of, you know, back in the day, they used to boil ribs, man. I'm not one for ribs, but Texas and Fort Hood, man, right around the central Texas area. You know, Austin, Killeen, anybody know anything about Fort Hood, they know exactly what I'm talking about. But that's pretty much when that really big thirst for barbecue started with me. You know, I'd always cooked it in college, man, sitting on the patio drinking beer, but you know, as far as like really understanding the you know, what barbecue was all about was probably when I was stationed in Texas back in 2002 sometime. But, you know, after that, man, after the military, I left the military and I was working corporate America. Excuse me, man, you might hear some planes flying over right here.
No worries.
Working corporate America, man, as a telecom engineer. Did that for about 8 years and got laid off. And one thing that I got laid off one time and then came home, man, and had no idea what I really wanted to do. And they actually called me back maybe about a month later. And when they called me back, man, I just thought to myself, hell, if this shit happens again, I got to have something to fall back on. And so I fell back on what I love to do, you know, and I love to cook. And I love to cook.
God bless you, man. So you went out and you said, you know what, I'm going to control my own destiny for once and quit relying on everybody else.
Oh, hell yeah, man. Oh, hell yeah. And haven't looked back yet, man. I have no regrets about it. And I'll tell anybody, you know, I didn't start off with a whole bunch of money in my pocket. Hell, if anything, I probably blew all my 401k money on hanging out in the club when I was a youngster. But, you know, it started probably about 2005, man. And again, I got laid off the second time, you know, when the company got sold. And in 2005, I never looked back. The Rolling Grill started. I went on eBay, bought me a smoker from a guy in Virginia who had built one. It was a propane smoker. I had it converted to charcoal. I didn't even have a damn truck to pull it. But to get to my catering events, I rented trucks. I borrowed from friends. I bought me an enclosed trailer. And anytime I needed to go to a catering event, when I first started off, I borrowed from friends, cars, and rented trucks. So, like I said, man, I mean, I started off, you know, it wasn't fancy for me at the beginning. But my passion for barbecue became strong that, you know, it's what I wanted to do, and people really love what I was putting out. And so here I am now, man, 2013. I ain't damn stopped yet. And I ain't made a whole bunch of money doing it, but I ain't damn stopped yet because it's what I love to do.
Dude, that is awesome, brother. I love to hear it. And, you know, and that's one of the things, too, I mean, is you know, and a lot of people, and I'd love to get your feedback on this, Eric, a lot of folks say, well, you know, when you take and turn a passion into a profession, you know, maybe it loses a little bit of its luster. Would you say that's true or false?
You know what? I'd say it's false, you know, because the one thing about passion as far as it goes with barbecue. I was always passionate about food as a child, you know. I always tell everybody. I even wrote it in the book I wrote, man, that my first – I used to cook for my father back when I was like 10, 12 years old. He's the one that started me off. But I always tell everybody, my first personal chef job was for my father. My first catering gig was cooking for my family. And you know, they were my worst critics or my biggest cheerleaders. And, you know, I don't think so. I think sometimes, man, you have to go with what's on your heart, man, and the gut, and the way the good Lord leads you, man. And if the good Lord leads you to step out on faith and do it, then damn it, that's what you do. You know what I'm saying? You step out on faith, you do it, you don't look back, and you don't take anybody's criticism, because most of the time the folks that are closest to you are the ones trying to kick you down. You know?
No, I completely agree with you, man. I think it's great to see the passion for what you do. So you started on that old propane cooker. You know, and obviously, man, I think, and we saw on the show, you're still a stick burner guy, but it looks like you've kind of moved on to a little better gadgets, if you will. As a owner of a Lange, little Lange 36, I'll tell you, they're good cookers. But how long did you run that old propane cooker?
You know what? I ran the propane cooker for probably a year, and then I had it converted over. I went to a welder and had it converted over to take the propane pipe out and just leave me a straight charcoal, some charcoal grates at the bottom. So I did it for like a year, man. But it wasn't a well built pit. The material,
a lot of leaks.
You know, yeah, a lot of leaks, and it's a very light material. But I'll tell you what, the only grand champion I've ever won, I won on that damn pit, and I won cooking. An IBC contest with Swine and Dandy back in 2011. And I cooked it on that same damn pit that, you know, was built poorly. Because sometimes, you know, as long as you know how to cook and manage a fire, hell, I don't care what they give you, man. You can figure out how to cook some barbecue.
Man, I echo that completely. You know, I mean, we went up and cooked Delaware a couple weekends ago and had some great friends help us out. You know, Zombie Barbecue, Atomic, Tom over there at Philly Blind Pig. But you know, we had a pellet cooker, which we knew, but then we had a Meadow Creek 250 that, you know, I just, all I knew about a Meadow Creek was it's kind of like a Lange, it's a reverse flow.
Right.
But I'd never cooked on one as big as, you know, as big as that. And I got to say, man, we always talk well about him on the show. Old Rob Bagby, I called him up. I said, man, I said, I know you've been, you know, kicking butt on that little Yoder stick burner you got. I said, you know, Why don't you help your boy out? I'm trying to do something a little bit more, you know, than just cook for the family and friends like I usually do here. And Rub gave me a couple of pointers, man, and it was like, you know what? But that guy's salt of the earth too. I mean, he's a pretty awesome dude. But once again, man, it's one of those things. We like to go all over the country and cook, and sometimes, man, you just get stuck with whatever you can beg, borrow, and steal. But you know, if you got folks that'll help you out and you know how to manage a fire, well, you know, sometimes it all works out.
Yeah, exactly right, man. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about managing the fire. And to get and the piggyback on Rub, I got a lot of respect for Rub, man. When I started cooking barbecue as a profession back in 2005, you know, I remember seeing Myron and Bubba on the Food Network TV. But for some odd reason, I don't know how I got onto the Swamp Boys website. I think it might have been looking at Stump's website and got somehow linked up with, you know, whatever Rub had going on. But, man, I got a lot of respect for Rub, man. Rub, I mean, he's still doing it. He's cooked on damn pellet cooker, won a GC. He's cooked on a gravity fed GC, cooked on a Lange GC. So I got nothing but a lot of respect for Rub, man. Rub is probably one of those guys out there that doesn't get enough credit, if you ask me.
No, and one of the things is, I mean, Rub's just Rub. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's kind of only like his – you know, I always said when everybody, you know, when anybody gets to meet what I call three beer Bagby, which is just, you know, Rob gets a couple of beers in him and he just loosens up, and he's a damn blast, you know, and I look forward to seeing him this season on Barbecue Pit Masters. I think he's gonna tear the house down.
So that's
pretty cool. So you kind of get into this thing. So about a year you cooked on the propane cooker. What did you move to next, Eric?
Once I did the propane, man, like I say, until about 2011, from about 2005 to about 2010, actually, I was just cooking on that. I had it converted over to charcoal after about a year. So, you know, I was just cooking on it. Like, basically that, and I got a few more things around here that I used to do my catering gigs with, because I would pack everything in my trailer and just roll to whatever job sites I had. But sure. I had always wanted a Lange, you know, never really did the investment thing in getting one. But in about 2010, actually the first Lange I got, I actually bought prior to coming to Kale's event. And so when I saw you that day, we had just picked up our first 36.
Nice.
Right. Yeah. Ben was nice enough. He was already out there setting up, so he was nice enough to bring it down for us, man. And that was the first time I cooked on it, man. And I'm going to tell you, it's just like a different type of cooking. Once you get an offset, reverse flow, it's just a whole different type of deal, man. You can't screw it up, and it just makes life so much easier, especially when you're talking about catering. It's just a different ball of wax.
No, well, you know, and the thing about it, too, is not only, you know, how much easier it is to manage the cooker when you go reverse flow, but how much of a different product you get.
Exactly.
You know, your smoke rings deeper. Your bark's a little bit, you know, I don't want to say thicker, but your bark's a little darker because of what you're doing with the reverse flow. It really opens up a lot of options that I think, you know, are pretty cool for that type of offset cooker.
I have to agree with you, man. And like I said, we cooked on a 48 on the show. We had the 36 with us, but we cooked on a 48 on the show. And, I mean, you know, we had a water pan, and then they didn't really show the water pan, but we put a little water pan with some apple juice and some water in there. But when I tell you it was fiercely cold in Pensacola that night, you were there.
I was there, man. That was a brutal weekend, brother. That was a brutal-ass weekend, my friend.
Oh, my gosh, man. That was rough. But I tell you what, it kept turning. 250, 275, she didn't drop below that, man. She kept turning, and like I said, I got nothing but respect also for Ben Lang and the product he puts out, man. It's a nice cooker. I love it.
Excellent. So let's talk a little bit about the catering business. So obviously you do barbecue, duh. You know, what else? Do you do any, you know, I mean, obviously you do the whole shebang, the sides and all that. What would be the one thing for that guy that's saying, you know, maybe I'm not going to jump off and make it a full-time job, but maybe I'm going to dedicate a lot of my spare time to it, try to make some money, maybe, you know, feed this competition habit or just make a little bit of money for the general kind of household fund. What's some of the things you'd say to watch out for?
Oh, let me see. Man, I tell you what, the one thing to probably watch out for is how much you spend on product versus what you bring back. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, I've always kept that rule that whatever the catering gig was, minus taxes, I'm only going to spend 35% of that on food. You know, you got to really understand your food costs because, if first time out, first event, I know damn well I probably spent probably 75% on food and 25% went to the help, and I was left with nothing. And I did it anyway because I was ignorant to the fact that, you know, people want a lot for a little, but you got to know in the back of your mind that you should not go over 35, 40% is max for me. And everything after that, man, you know, as long as you stay within those parameters or whatever the catering event calls for, you'll be all right. But just keep that 35-40% ratio in your head as far as food costs. And 40 is pushing it, if you ask me. 35 is probably where I'd stay.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true to the restaurant business. You know, most great restaurants run it 30-33% food cost, 30-33% overhead, and then hopefully 30-33% going to you.
Exactly.
You know, and that's kind of, you know, if you look at just a rule of thumb and the school of thought, that's where most people try to operate. So I completely understand that and agree with that. What would you say menu-wise? Would you tell folks to just focus on a couple of core competencies, or would you say be broad and expansive?
Let me tell you what I did. And, you know, not to give any plugs here, but Burger King and McDonald's are successful for one reason, because they understand what customers want. The customer wants packages. You see a lot of guys that do catering, they just sell barbecue by the pound. I've never been that. I did the research on that, and that's just not a way to make money. I did packages, meaning I give you the pork butt, the chicken, you know, whatever the package was, the baked beans, the whole meal on a plate, looking out at a three-compartment plate. I'm giving you the whole meal. And I'm going to charge you maybe 11, 12, whatever the per-person price is, because I'm getting money. I'm getting a bigger yield on what I'm putting out. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to just saying, you know, I'll give you 5 pounds of pork and you can buy that and you may make, you know, maybe 10% of what you put into it. I just always thought packages were the way to go. Just do a complete package when you do your catering menus. I mean, it's worked for McDonald's. It's worked for Burger King. They're very successful at putting, you know, a Happy Meal together or a Quarter Pounder meal together, and they get their money off of it. You know what I'm saying? So that's always the strategy that I've taken. I've always done packages as opposed to selling per pound items.
a la carte.
Well, you know, and that's smart. And, you know, you've got a one meat, two sides deal. You've got a two meats, three sides deal. You've got a list of eight sides they can pick from. You know, that's another spot where I feel like guys miss out is they take and they focus so much on the meat, and then they go buy some shit potato salad from Restaurant Depot or Sam's, you know, and just try to throw some rub or paprika on it and put it on the plate. You know, people want well-cooked barbecue, but what'll get people to come back to you for catering gig after catering gig is those unique side dishes.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's not cheap. You know, the couple of times we've done things, we'll upcharge for it. But, man, we've got a jalapeno mac and cheese that I've taught at a couple of my classes that, dude, it's a game changer. And people go, man, I got no problem paying an extra dollar a head to taste that.
Oh, hell,
you know,
yeah.
For my 100 folks to get some of that, I'll pay the dollar a head upcharge, you know, because damn thing uses, I mean, for a batch, uses about 35 pounds of cheese, it feels like. I mean, it's pretty dang good. So, you know, but that's the thing is, yeah, your barbecue's got to be spot on because that's what they're getting you for. But, man, if you've got a kick-ass bean recipe or you make a homemade coleslaw that's just out of this world or something different, like, you know, the jalapeno mac and cheese, whatever – boom, exactly. That's what makes them come back to you because, you know, I mean, dude, the only good thing at Sonny's Barbecue is the beans.
Oh, my gosh, guys.
And, bro, I'll tell you right now, I've went to many a cookout and went by and got 2 pounds of Sonny's baked beans and brought that as my take, you know, because I was busy or whatever, you know. I mean, but have those things that make it signature for you. Would you agree with that?
I would agree totally. In any kind of business, you've got to have something that sets you apart from the competition, you know. And if it's burnt in baked beans, pulled pork baked beans, you know, smoked chicken baked, whatever you want to call your own, man, it's just something that sets you apart and run a package on it instead of just pumping the meat. Because, you know, pumping the meat is fine when you're talking about vending and you just want to pump out sandwiches. That's fine because you're going to charge a lot more for that sandwich. But when you're talking about catering and you got 100, 200 people sitting out here, you got to be able to put a whole spread together, man, and the end result is you'll get way more back than you put out for that whole shebang.
Now, I just saw something in chat, Eric. Have you wrote a catering book?
Yeah, I wrote a book. It came out July 2012. It's called How to Start a Home-Based Food Truck Business, you know, and I never had a food truck. I've always been mobile in a trailer, and I've always been – my thing has always been, you know, I'll come to your house with all my equipment in my trailer and set it out for you. But when I went to the publisher, you know, the publisher was so fascinated on this whole food truck movement from Food Network that she wanted to base it around all types of mobile cuisine. You know what I'm saying? The hot dog guy, the food truck guy, the mobile guy that does personal chef, the mobile guy that just does barbecue, the guy that sits on the corner and does whatever. So the book really embodies pretty much anything you can do mobily with food within the health, you know, regulations. You know what I'm saying? It embodies everything. But yeah, it came out in July 2012.
Well, where can people get that at?
Man, it's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. It's actually in stores in Barnes & Noble stores. And it's also on the – if you go to my website, you'll see all the links to get to it. If you go to therollinggrill.com, I got a section in my website called my new book or something like that. It has all the links to get the book. But it's been doing really good online, man, really, really good.
Blake Moody out of Jacksonville giving you another props in the chat says – I got it, and it's better than both Food Truck for Dummies or Food Truck for Idiots. I checked those out from the library, but I bought Eric's book, Money Well Spent.
Blake is the man. I told Blake earlier today, man, when I get a check, he's going to get part of it. But I tell you, man, like I said, I did a lot of research on it. I mean, in the publishing, it's a well-known publishing company. It's not a bootleg publishing company. I actually had the way it all started, if I can get on that, is, you know, I had a book that I put together. It was basically just about mobile barbecue and stuff like that. And I did the book and sold it online on eBay. And a publisher saw it. and they called me about it. And it was actually Entrepreneur Press that called me about it. But the deal wasn't right. So this book has actually been in the works probably since 2009, 2010. But I just happened to reach out to another publisher, the actual publisher of the book now, Globe PPU, man, and they were so fascinated about the whole food truck and mobile series, man, mobile business that, you know, they offered me a nice little deal, and, you know, here we are today, man. You know, well-known publisher, and the book's actually been doing pretty good, man.
Yeah, and that's great, man, because, you know, food trucks are so hot. You know, I mean, and everybody, you know, everybody loves that. Just, I mean, just that aspect, especially since, you know, the recession or the economy slowdown, whatever the hell you want to call it, you know, where people have less money and people are getting laid off and this and that we went through the last 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's made people kind of take that stance that you took a little bit earlier on in life and said, you know what, man, I'm sick of putting all my eggs in somebody else's back.
Oh, yeah, definitely,
trying to feed this out myself.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. And like I say, you know, the good thing about it for me, I guess, is it happened earlier for me.
Sure.
You know, it happened back when the telecom boom and the internet boom was just busting and everybody was losing big money in the stock market. So I got a leg up on everybody. Although it hurt initially, I'm glad it happened when it did and it didn't happen later, like right now when, you know, gas is damn near $4 a gallon,
right,
and everything is expensive as hell. But, yeah, man, I mean, it's... Like I say, man, it's been a good ride for me. I can't complain. It ain't been a big money making ride, but it's been a good ride, and I love every bit of it.
Dude, that's awesome. So we were talking about sides for a second. Tell me your three best sides. If I was to call you up and say, Eric, money's not an object. I want your best two meats and your best three sides. What would you tell me?
Best two meats
and best three sides.
Best three sides. I'd definitely say, as far as meats go, I think we do a hell of a job on pulled pork, and I actually feel really confident in my brisket now. We don't get a lot of requests for brisket. We get more requests for beef ribs, and I don't know why, but, you know, I always try to steer them to brisket. But I think we do a damn good job with the pork and the brisket. And plus, you can feed a lot more people with it, man. And as far as sides, I mean, we do a killer baked beans, man, because we pretty much add a whole bunch of stuff to it. We don't just take it out the can and serve it. We've got a good potato salad. I mean, we don't go to Sam's or Restaurant Depot and get it. We actually make it. And I think a third option, I think, is very popular for some odd reason. It's really not a side. It's more like a dessert. People down here love peach cobbler, man. And, you know, we make a kick-ass peach cobbler, man. And that's always something that's always requested, especially for the pig roast that we do. People always seem to love peach cobbler down here, man.
Now, how do you cook it? Do you smoke it or Dutch oven it, or you just cook it in the oven?
The peach cobbler?
Yeah.
Oh, no, man. I mean, if we're doing it on site, no, man, we throw it right there in the smoker. Only thing is I'll probably cut back on I won't use the smoke, and I'll start off with the charcoal, but when we get it to a certain level, I'll wrap it, and then just to get the heat up high, just to
cook
it through, yeah, I'll throw in some wood then. But, no, we'll start it off on charcoal. Even in the Lang, man, we'll start it off on charcoal and keep it rolling.
Now, let me ask you this. I mean, a good friend like myself, I love a good peach cobbler. I mean, maybe offline you can share a couple tips with me. I mean, we ain't gonna do this on. Hey, we ain't gonna do this on the air with everybody listening. But I mean, if I reached out to you personally, maybe we could trade a couple peach cobbler tips.
Oh man, ain't no problem. I can tell you right now, man. It's not magic. I can tell you right now, man. No big deal, man. You know, the one thing I've always been taught by folks that I've watched cook is with peach cobbler. You gotta, when you get the peaches out of the can, the number 30 can, you gotta cook the peaches down. You know, cook them down, add a little bit of flour, because with peach cobbler and any kind of cobbler, you want a roux.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you gotta add a little flour to it, make a nice little roux, or arrowroot if you wanna thicken it up, or cornstarch. I'm not a fan of cornstarch, but if you wanna add that, and then come with your cinnamons, and I use turbinado sugar. I don't use white sugar. Yeah, and I mean, that's pretty much it, man. I mean, the brown sugar corn syrup, just to give it a little color. I mean, just to give it a little, a little pizzazz. And I mean, it's pretty much whatever your taste buds, you know, however sweet you like it. You know, it just depends on what your sweetness is, man. But that's pretty much how we make it.
Good deal, man. So I appreciate you sharing that with the listeners out there. That's definitely some good advice. What would you say?
Say it one more time, Chad.
Said,
airplane is really loud.
Do you live right over the top of Atlanta Hartsfield?
You know what? I'm not far from it. I'm like right on the borderline of Atlanta in a town called Ellenwood. So, you know, all the planes, when they're leaving out, they fly right over this house, man. So I'm getting, I mean, you're probably going to hear them every 15 minutes, if not every 10 minutes.
Man, can I tell you a good Atlanta joke?
What you got?
I was up there working. We were doing a project for Kroger, my technology company. The guy goes, "All right, we're deploying to a distribution center and three stores, in College Park in College Park, Georgia." And an old guy looks at me and goes, "Let me tell you something about College Park, Georgia. There ain't no college, and there sure as hell ain't no park."
And he never damn lied about that.
we were kind of a startup, so it was kind of a hodgepodge of guys that I had. You know, I've got this little, like, 22-year-old Indian developer that may weigh 108 pounds. I've got this old engineer that's probably 62 years old with two artificial hips. You got my corn-fed ass, and man, dude, you did not want to be in that parking lot after 10 o'clock, because man, it could get a little bit dicey in old College Park. I'll tell you what.
Oh yeah, man. Now they're fixing it up now. You know, they got the new Porsche corporate headquarters. They moved out there. That's getting ready to get built right around the airport. So you know, they're fixing it up. It's a good location, especially when you got corporate. You know, when you got corporations that need close access to the airport. So it's a good location. They just need to do a little work on it.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, you see so many areas like that where they put those revitalization projects in, and all it takes is one or two corporations to come in there with some great tax incentives, and then boom, you know, the next thing you know, you go back 5 years later, you're like, dude, this shit doesn't even look the same.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I guarantee you, everybody's going to follow suit right behind Porsche. They got a prime spot right off of, you know, 75 by the airport. And you'll see, as soon as they get that building up and that sign out there, everybody else will be following suit.
Man, y'all just do me a favor up there and keep Mookie Blaylock off the streets.
You know what? I just heard about that, man.
That's horrible, man.
Oh, my gosh, man. I don't really know exactly what happened, but I did hear something about him being in pretty bad shape in the hospital.
Well, he was in bad shape. He's driving on a suspended license. He hits. So these people had lived in Georgia but moved to Plano for the wife's job.
Yeah.
They wanted to move back to Atlanta because she finally got a chance to work from home as a realtor. And they're going to look for houses to move. And they had five kids back in Plano. He's driving on a suspended license. Family said he's been having seizures. You know, I don't know, but I loved Mookie Blaylock. I thought he was a hell of a man. He's a little scrappy player. I liked him. But then when I read the story about the family, too, I was like, damn, you know, man, that's a bad break.
Yeah, that's a bad break. I didn't really hear the whole story about it, but, I mean, yeah, that's a bad break. He was a hell of a player at Oklahoma.
He was
a really good player.
At Oklahoma, and I loved watching him with the Hawks, man. I mean, he was just that little guy that he got in there. He was scrappy, you know. He was gonna play, man. He's gonna leave it all on the court.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to do a little more research on that. I heard they were talking about it, but
I think the most recent article where it talked about the victim's family and all that was on ESPN.com. So after you get done with me and before you go over to that other barbecue show tonight, and I'm just and hey, I'll tell you what, man. There is something in it for you if you tell Rempy. Greg, you got to bring it, man. I just got off the best radio interview I've ever done in my life. And you got to understand, man, me and Greg are best of friends. And we've this is like back-to-back shows that we've double booked because usually I'll reach out to Greg or Greg will reach out to me and say, you know, hey, you know, who are you bringing on this week? Well, I'm bringing on this. Okay, well, I'm not bringing on any of those. You know, but 2 weeks ago when I had my show, I brought on Brad from The Shed. Greg had him too, and then I'm bringing you on this week, and he hit me up and said, "Hey, I'm bringing Eric on too." I was like, "All right, well, I'll get him warmed up for you, my friend."
Oh, yeah, man. And usually, man, like I say, usually I listen to both of y'all shows back to back. I mean, everybody comes out of your chat room, goes right to his. So, I mean, and usually for me, it's, yeah.
And that's the cool thing about it, man. I've had a chance to change nights. And I like kind of, and there's other shows out there, and there are good shows out there, you know, et cetera. But I kind of like the fact that, you know, me and Craig are on Tuesday nights together, and Tuesday night's barbecue night when it comes to radio, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, trust me, man. I mean, I'll be sitting here listening to Greg at 10, what is it, like 10:30 at night, and I'm the only one up. I'm just sitting there listening to him. But, I mean, you know, if you love barbecue, I mean, hell, it's just what you do. I mean, you listen to you on Tuesday at 7 o'clock and then follow it up with him. It's just a good time. I don't have no problem with it. I love it. My wife looks at me like I'm a little crazy, but I don't have no problem with it.
Well, man, I appreciate you listening. So let's talk a little bit about this barbecue Pitmasters thing, man. So,
all right.
Obviously, the casting call goes out, and I believe the guy, and correct me if I'm wrong, the guy you cooked with, Malcolm?
Say again. I'm sorry, Chad. I could hardly hear you. Say it one more time.
The guy that your helper, was it Malcolm?
What was his name?
Himard. Mark. All right.
Yeah, Himard.
So you guys, I mean, so what kind of submission video did y'all put together?
Man, you know what? It's so funny. Like, there's a submission video out there right now that I did for, because I tried to do season three, and I did it for season three. And I guess it didn't G for the video or whatever. But there's another video that I can't find. I did it on Vimeo. For some reason, I can't find it. But I actually shot the video at night, man. For this season, I shot the video at night. I was sitting out here by my, actually cooking on the old original rolling grill pit that I told you about earlier.
Yeah.
And we were just sitting back talking shit and drinking a little beer and, you know, acting a fool and cooking a little chicken, man, and, you know, popping a little smoke. And, you know, they obviously liked it, man. And I got a call maybe about a few weeks later about it, and the whole process started. But, I mean, it wasn't nothing fancy, man. Like I say, we were just sitting out here in the backyard, man, acting a damn fool around the pit. And I guess they seemed to like it.
Well, you know, and most, you know, probably pretty clear.
Oh, I can hear you.
That was a 767 right there.
Yeah, that's
a big dog. That's a big dog. But, you know, having been asked to do a couple different casting videos, et cetera, they like that part of it. They just want it to be organic. They don't want it to be produced. They don't want it to be put on. They just want to be, hey, be yourself. You know, when we pitch to the network, we'll splice it together however we want to. But just go and show us who you are. And
right.
a lot of guys will ask me about that, like, you know, between the chop thing and, you know, this and that, they'll go, you know, well, what did you do audition video-wise? And it's like, well, for Chopped, you know, I got a call, and then they asked later on, you know, will you send us some footage? And they want just that raw, here's who we are, here's what we do, here's what we believe in, you know, here's the kind of folks we are. And then, you know, it goes from there.
Exactly. And they don't. I can tell from maybe the first video that we did, you know, it wasn't, we didn't stage anything, but we were kind of like just going through the motions. I mean, I told somebody earlier today, man, if you're going to submit a video to Barbecue Pit Match, just be as authentic, like you said, and as original as possible. And just do you around the pit. Whatever you do you, man. And they'll ask you later on to get a little more serious and give them some footage of you doing this and you doing that. But initially, just do whatever you do. If you crack open the six-pack and get to drinking on Natty Ice around the smoke, damn, do that. That's what you're supposed to do.
Well, I'm going to
be as real as possible.
I'm going to see if you agree with me on this. Having been through a couple of these casting things, is it not such a hurry up and wait? Hurry up and wait.
Yes.
Hurry up and
yes,
wait.
Yes, it is. Oh, yes, man, it is.
Now, the network will call you and say, hey, we need this. Can you have it to us by end of business today? Absolutely. And, you know, you go cancel shit, jump through hoops, and then next thing you know, you're like, hey, it's been 4 or 5 days. Well, yeah, we're probably not going to hear nothing back for the week. You know, and you're like, golly, man. But at the end of the day, man, it all becomes worth it, you know?
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah. And to piggyback on what you just said about the hurry up and wait, I mean, I don't know. Well, people that probably hadn't followed the Rolling Grill wouldn't know. But, like, even the whole logo thing, for me, I had to change the whole damn thing up because, you know, my original logo, it had my website. And, you know, You know, they don't want to show websites on the show. So I had to go and get somebody to do the whole damn website, the whole damn logo over. And I sent it to them that same day. And I probably heard back from them about a week and a half later about, okay, it's a go.
Okay, it's good. It's like, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, to hurry up and wait, man. But I wish, I mean, I, like I said, though, it was a long, drawn-out process to get to Pensacola, but we had a ball, man.
Well, dude, I'll tell you, I was there when you pulled into Pensacola. You were in front of us. We were right behind you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we were right behind you. And a man, you weren't cooking the contest, but old Ivan, the contest organizer there, man, that's a dude that's salt of the earth, man. He's a good guy, and they just did a great job, man. Beautiful little venue there in Pensacola. I hope the weather's better next year, and I'd still love to go back up there and cook it again, because it was a really, really good contest. But you get there, so. I saw you pull in. You pulled in on Friday morning. Walk us through the timeline, if you don't mind, Eric.
The timeline, actually, we got there Thursday. We got there Thursday night,
okay.
Late at night, man. You know, and, you know, you have your meetings that go on before. Not to get too much away, you know, they put you through that NDA, that non-disclosure agreement. But, you know, we had our meeting that morning. And then when you saw me, man, we had just finished our meeting, and we're ready for, you know, setting up. We're just setting up, getting everything set up, man, and... You know, that's pretty much where the process started. Once you saw me, we were just waiting on everybody to get – we were waiting on Butcher to get loaded in and then, you know, Big Jim to get loaded in, and we were the last ones to load in. But that was pretty much the whole process that Friday, man, just getting loaded in and getting all your stuff set up on your table and getting ready to roll, you know,
information. Here was the cool thing to me is, you know, you saw us behind you. You came back there, and we hugged it out, and – I said, man, I said, what are you doing here? You're like, man, we're cooking Pitmasters. I was like, that's awesome. And I was like, so you prepared this? You said, man, we're just going to do what we do. We got a bottle of Hennessy. We're just going to, you know, drink and have a good time, man. And you know what, man? You guys, and I'm not just saying this because you're on the show, you guys came off so genuine on TV.
I appreciate it, man. We were trying to be as real as possible, man. It wasn't no faking the funk and, you know, like when I met you later on that night, when you came by, I had some Dickel too, man. I had some Dickel whiskey.
Dickel, that's what it was.
Yeah.
That was the Dickel.
That was my first time trying it. I saw it. I remember seeing it on Facebook painted all over Team Unknown's trailer, man, so I wanted to give it a try. So that was our first time trying that too. And we'll be back on that next time you see us also. But I mean, man, we just tried to be as real as possible, man. At the end of the day, you know, I love to cook. Himar loves to cook. And all we do is sit around the smoker, even at a catering event, just having a ball. Because if it's going to feel like work to me, then I don't damn want to do it.
No. Not at all. You know,
not at all.
And that came across, man. I mean, you never really got uptight. You know, I thought you came off well in the show. You had to be excited when you saw that was the two meats you had. There was no mutton. There was no bullshit. I mean, you were cooking, ribs and pork butt.
Yes, sir.
That's Georgia, I mean, through and through, man.
Yeah. That's Georgia barbecue all day long. Anything with a pig, man, a suey. That's us, man. Yeah, I mean, I was excited about it. I knew it wasn't going to be a big ordeal, and I didn't have to outthink myself to cook it, man. You know, it was just stick to the basics. You know, let the smoker work and work the smoker. We tried to work the hell out that lane. And with the lane, you don't have to do too much, man. You know, you put that damn meat in there, keep that fire where you need to keep it, and let the cooker cook the damn meat and don't open it up. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we did.
Well, you know, here's one of the things, too, though, you got to think about is, you know, I'm not going to say intimidated because I know you're not going to be intimidated by anybody. You've been on this competition trail a while. But, I mean, you got to be a little unhappy. I mean, once again, man, Chef Jim may be the best guy in this world, but he made a comment on that show, which is, in my eyes, horseshit. When he said, I want to come out and show people the San Francisco style of barbecue. Well,
I know he's beat upside the head about that comment.
Jim, I hate to tell you, you know, unless it's, you know, unless it's tofu, San Francisco doesn't have a style of barbecue. Okay, buddy. And don't get me wrong. Once again, I'm not trying to be a hater, Eric. The guy seemed like a very, very sweet man. You know, but I just can't have that. But it's leading to my question of, you couldn't be the happiest guy in the world when Dave Bosca shows up next to you.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, Dave's a good guy, man. But you know Dave's resume when you get there. I mean, hell, he just won the damn World Food Championship.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, so you know his resume when you're getting there. So, but to me, I look at it like this, man. Like, at the end of the day, I've been doing this for a very long time. And, you know, if you're going to kick my ass on national TV, you're going to have to bring it. And that's how I look at it. And that's not to be cocky or nothing, but I know I can cook. I can cook barbecue, you know, just as good as the next man if I stick to my game plan. And I know Dave's going to bring it, and he's got a record to show that he can bring it. So, to me, I was happy to see Dave a little bit because I wasn't up against somebody who people would be like, oh, well, shit, that's nobody. You know,
I was up against somebody who
would kick ass.
You wanted to make sure and bring credibility to your episode.
Exactly.
No offense, there was some of those, you know, there was some of those season 4B episodes that you're kind of like, you know, and I think I'm a guy that's pretty well entrenched in competition barbecue, that when they called the three teams out, you went, who the hell are these guys?
Right. I feel you. I mean, I feel you, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you're like, you know, and so I can see where you come from. You wanted somebody next to you that had some name recognition that was affordable to where you could go, you know what, man, if I win this thing, I freaking done something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly, man. And not to take anything away from Big Jim, man, because like I say, Big Jim's a good guy, man. We really – and we all had a good time. Like, even, like, Butcher, Martin from David and Martin – Big Jim and David, his guy that helped him out. I mean, we all jailed very nicely. I mean, we had a good damn time. They don't really show much of it, but we all had a good damn time doing that show Friday night and Saturday when we shot it. But, I mean, not to take anything away from Big Jim. I mean, Big Jim was a fierce competitor, too. Like I said in my interview that didn't show that, you know, when I showed up, yeah, I was probably more concerned, if that's a word to say, with David than I was with Big Jim. And that's only because I know David's Butch's resume, you know, as opposed to I had never heard of Big Jim's barbecue. And he's really big in San Francisco, but never heard from him.
And I'm going to tell you what, I'll give the guy props. He pulled his stuff from San Francisco, California, to Pensacola, Florida to compete.
Dude, they drove the whole way.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I will give that guy, you know, much respect, because that right there says you believe in yourself. It's not about the 40 minutes on TV. It's about, man, I really think I can go out there and win this thing. Because that is not a short drive.
Hell no, man. I mean, they made a trip out of it going back. They did the whole Central Texas barbecue thing, the whole, Southern barbecue thing and the whole Central Texas thing. And they made a good trip out of it, man. But, yeah, you're right. They did that whole damn drive from San Francisco.
Yeah, so, well, man.
Pulling the trailer up that.
I'm going to tell you what. I was sitting there, and I didn't see the result when I was at Pensacola. But, man, I was sitting there, and I was – that last 2 or 3 minutes, I was like, damn, tell me Eric won this thing. Tell me Eric won this thing. I was pulling for you, buddy. You did a great job. Your food looked good. We've already chewed up 45 minutes. I'm kind of surprised. We're gonna have to get you back on here sooner than later, my friend.
Okay, that'll work, man. If I could say one last thing before we end, though, Chad, on the whole
oh,
pit match.
Absolutely.
This is one thing that people don't know, and Butcher will probably talk about it tonight because we've already talked about it before. Just to give credit to Big Jim and to Dave. You know, the boxes that you saw on TV, those weren't the way the boxes were supposed to look. What happened is one of the crew members actually dropped the camera that the boxes were in.
Oh, shit. Well, you know what? That was I must have saw 20 comments on Facebook about that last night.
Yeah.
I will tell folks also, if you want to get I'm on DirecTV. If you want to get Pitmasters a little bit earlier than everybody else, they, for some reason, yesterday, they posted it at like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow.
On demand. Yeah, man. So I watched it. I watched it on demand way before. Remember, I messaged you, what, at 2 o'clock?
You sure did, yeah.
I've already seen the episode. You look great. You want to come on the show? And I'm sure you were thinking, like, what?
But, yeah, man, you're right, man. They had it. I think somebody else told me it was on iTunes well before, too, though. But, man, it gives credit to Big Jim, man.
You're absolutely right. And the one thing I hope Dave really, really talks about a little bit is, man, that horn meat that he put in that pork box, the way it was that was something I've never seen before.
I told him, too, man. I said, you know what? They didn't show it. I told we were sitting in the pit. I said, man, you're teaching today. And I said, I'll tell you what. Every box on the competition trail is going to figure out that damn horn meat. So you might as well figure out another cut of meat because everybody's using that. I'm even trying to figure out how to get that right.
Yeah, that was something I had never seen before. I mean, I've always heard about people making sure you get horn meat in the box and this and that. But the way that he sliced that horn meat, and man, it was just such a beautiful box, too.
And you know, if you notice, he cut it just like you cut a brisket against the grain.
Yep.
Yeah, and he had some nice slice. I mean, he probably didn't go no further than 195 on it. And
no.
Pulled it out and probably let it rest and got some nice slices out of that thing.
But I'm going to tell you what, to do that too, you have to understand your fire and your heat and your cooker really well. Because at some point in time, you've got to move that butt around a little bit to get 195 in your muscle and 195 in your horn.
Exactly.
So I mean, that's a whole, you know, once again, there's a big debate going on in the chat about, are pellets really cooking? You know, same old bullshit. Oh, you always see, right, Eric? You know, pellets and this and that. To me, that's the stuff that makes a difference. I as long as you're cooking over a natural fire, I could care less. But, you know, what it means where, you know, okay, well, I think the money muscle's at 190, so I need to get the back of that butt towards a hotter spot so it'll catch up. That's being a pit master. That's knowing your cooker, and that's trying to get that butt to all come out at the right temperature at the same time. And that's no easy chore.
Hell no, especially with that meat around the bone, because you know that meat around the bone. Like for me, I usually use it as my chop meat because it's nice and tender. So if you take it too far, you know you're not going to be able to slice it.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, pass off to him. And just one last thing before I leave, because I know I've been getting a lot of comments on my Facebook about me hating on pellet cookers. I have no hate for pellet cookers, trust me. No hate at all. It's so funny. I actually thought about buying one a long time ago to use in my catering business, the fast edit.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that's just not what I've learned to cook on over the years. But no, I got nothing but love for whatever you can cook on, man. I don't give a damn. As long as you get out there and do your thing. And at the end of the day, it's about the cook, not the cooker. So, you know, it don't matter to me.
Well, dude, I need to see you down here in Florida cooking a contest with us, man. I'd love to, dude. You can haul down here and cook against us, or man, just get in the car and come down here and cook with us. I'd like to have the weekend with you, my man.
Sounds like a plan, man. I'm trying to figure out how to do that Plant City, man. So don't count me out yet.
Oh, dude, hey, if you need somewhere to stay, I live 20 minutes from there, man. You got a place.
That sounds like a plan right there.
All right, man. Eric, always good to catch up, man. You did a great, great job last night. Everybody thinks the Rolling Grill is top-notch, man. Well done, my friend.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on, bro.
Yes, sir. We'll talk to you. We'll hear you on Rippy's show later. Hey, and don't forget, tell them we already set the bar, and it's high. It's real high.
Shall do.
All right, Eric. Take care, buddy.
All right. Later.
See ya. All right, guys, Eric Thomas, the Rolling Grill. You know, if you can't pick up that guy's energy and have a good time with him, then I don't know what you can do. Real quick, I'm coming over to Ronnie and Stacy here in a minute. Good, good friends of mine. But before we get there, we talked about Dave Bosca, Butcher's Barbecue, wins Pit Master this weekend. Congratulations, Dave. But there's another, in my eyes, better injection out there on the market. And that's CosmosQ.com. Been working with Darian for years. His pork and brisket injection are second to none. His chicken soak took a first place chicken in Oviedo 2 weeks ago. and it was right there. That was it. We probably spent 20 minutes trimming the chicken, and then we just let the chicken soak do its thing. A little bit of seasoning with some Killer Bee rub from Cosmos. Cook it in the box, and wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. So over there, CosmosQ.com, Darian's got all your products, whether it be pork soaks, pork injections, brisket injections, rubs. If you want something to kick things up, Memorial Day party, best Memorial Day party we've had yet. It's only the second annual. But we probably had 60, 70 people here at the house. And we did a Killer Bee Chipotle on the chicken and the beef for the tacos, the little taco bar. And people just kept saying, where did all that flavor come from? And I got to give hats off to my boy Darian. Thank goodness him and his family are okay. They're based there out of Mustang, Oklahoma. And I was texting with them during the storms this week. And just real happy they're okay. But go check him out. Not a better man around. And if you've ever worked with him, you know, you'll know he's real, he's just as accessible as I am. And he'll help you out every way he can. So with that being said, let's go over to Ronnie and Stacy. Two of my favorite folks to have on the show.
Hey.
What's up?
What's going on, guys?
How do I get an invitation to Memorial Day?
I'll tell you what, hey, the house is open. It's always a good time. You guys are more than welcome.
Do you see socks over there?
Florida.
And I'll tell you what, it's just about that time of year that the weather, it's not going to be that god-awful humid, but it's real damn close. It's a great excuse for the pool. And
on the coal, I may be able to call back.
That sounds good. We bought a house, that ranch style house from the 80s. And man, we got one of those few pools that we had probably 25 kids in it and probably could have took another 10. You know, not none of these kidney sized pools that they build with houses now. I mean, we got about 3/5 of a lap pool here in the back of the house, and man, I was kind of freaking out. I'm looking around, making sure everybody's fine, and all right, the kids that can't swim, do they got on floaties? Do they got on this? Do they got on that? And but man, we had a heck of a time, and you know, some of it was just good friends, and a lot of it was just our barbecue brothers and sisters, and it's a whole lot of fun.
It sounds like a blast, and I know the eats were good.
That they were. I'll tell you what, and I did it all. I've got that big old Weber Rancher kettle, and I cooked it all. I cooked it all on that because we cooked a contest Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning I was like, you know what? The last thing I'm gonna do is unload this cook trailer. So I said, man, you know what? I'm so happy I got this Rancher kettle. I'm gonna set this thing up for some offset grilling. And I'm going to have a good damn time on it. So speaking of good times and fun, you guys got a big announcement to make about up there on the boardwalk, don't you?
Absolutely.
We have a huge announcement.
All right. Well, hey, Ronnie, whoever wants to take it, go do it.
Hey, before we get on, I caught just the tail end of your conversation. That I'm like you. I was watching the show the other night. And, you know, no offense or anything, but when they said, I'm going to show you real San Francisco-style barbecue down here, I was definitely looking forward to seeing what kind of barbecue that was.
Well,
so.
I thought at that point in time he was going to pull out a head of romaine and a brick of tofu. He goes, I'm going to show you real San Francisco-style barbecue. I mean, and don't get me wrong, he seemed like a very, very nice guy.
Absolutely, like I said, 100%, no offense, male whatsoever. I was sitting here by myself watching that, and I was kind of like, you know, what the hell did he just say? Do you like the new format and everything? The Pitmasters is going. Do you like the way everything's going now?
Man, I've always said, Ronnie, I lust for season one.
Absolutely.
Just go. Hey, you know what? Why don't me and you just find a production? I mean, you're a mover and shaker. Why don't me and you just go find a production company? You know, and a sugar mama that'll throw in the money behind us. and just go do something like that, man. I think, and don't get me wrong, I realize we have this kind of cult following in competition barbecue.
Oh, absolutely.
But man, season one was so pure. It was so, I don't know. I just loved it, man. It had the, you know, to me, I kind of felt like, and once again, here's what's going to eliminate Whiskey Bent Barbecue from season six of Pitmasters. I'll go ahead and say it. I feel like they take, and I've talked to these organizers that have had Pitmasters at their locations. And to me, the organizer, they can say Pitmasters is filming there, and that's great, but that's all they really get. You know, they're kind of taking and using these contests as a set they don't have to pay for.
Well, exactly right. Have you ever noticed you never see anything other than those three little teams cooking, you know, that are in the middle of there? So you don't see the whole thing. And then as a promoter, your sponsors want to say, hey, man, I got the Pitmasters here. I don't see my banners up on the stage. Yeah. I only see all my teams and blah, blah, blah. So, no, I know exactly what you're saying.
And to me, I mean, Ronnie, I'll ask you a pointed question, and you don't have to answer it or not. I'm sure you've been approached about having Pitmasters filmed at your contest, haven't you?
Absolutely. Actually, several contests before and everything. And to me, it's just not. I don't know. It's just not worth. There's a lot of other things that go on behind the scenes that people don't know about, and that you have to put up with. And sometimes you're like, man, you know, hell, it's just, you know. It's just not worth it. And so, and again, nothing against the Pitmasters. It's a great, great show that people that aren't like, I'm like you, the first year, they showed what the barbecue is all about because they showed us going through category, 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 and how it's happening and turning and everything. And this stuff about cooking, I'm cooking lamb chops or I'm cooking popcorn or I'm cooking this and that. I mean, it's just not the same. And that's what we came up with. It's like, you know, it's cute. That's all we do. And so it should, in my opinion, it should be all about that. And we have been approached several times by other venues and everything about going back to like what they did that first season. But that's what they do now. They just kind of come into a contest area, you know, and they put their three teams up front and put your RV in the back and boom, you got a show.
You know, and to me, you know, the other thing people don't realize is, you know, and we're going to talk about a contest like yours, but you know, so we'll set the bar with that and then talk about some of the smaller contests. But
sure.
To give up the real estate
that
an organizer puts up, I would say at your contest, that's probably costing the organizer and the cook teams at a big contest somewhere between $25,000 and $40,000.
Yeah, and Stacy will verify this with us on when we did the event at the Academy of Country Music Awards. We had the park all laid out, everything was good, and then they decided to bring in the Dodge Ram Ride to Drive, and all the stuff.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That took up 80 spots, brother, that I could have sold, and I was backed up and sold out and turning people down. And so when you start doing the math, that cost a little over $32,000 that we lost because we put this Dodge Ram Ride and Drive thing in there. And that does kind of kill you as a promoter because you're counting because where else can you make that money up, you know, because they're not giving you any beer sales or anything else like that. So it definitely kills. Plus, the worst thing in the world you hate to do is turn somebody away and say, we're sold out, because when we first went into this thing, they're like, hey, man, you got all the room that you need.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you get to 120 teams, they're like, man, we can't put no more teams in here. And I'm like, no, we got all this space. They said, well, we did, but we signed these guys, you know. And you're kind of like, well, you know, do we get a cut of that or whatever? Because you just killed us. Plus, you pissed off all these teams that wanted to come, and I'm the one – you know how it is. We're figuring out these people, either promoters holding the bag, and I'm the one that's got to tell all the bad news to everybody. So let's know, Chad, we're learning, especially on our contract. I guess you could call me the Hugh Hefner contract now. I get screwed a lot, but never by the same person twice. So, you know, we're learning, yeah, you know, as we go. It's taken us 15 years and a long time, but we are learning. And with that said, that's what we started doing now is because this thing that happened to us at Silverton, you know, that never has really happened to us before. And I mean, any promoter out there is vulnerable because when you're working with these multi-billion dollar corporations, they can pull out the day before an event and all they do is say, sue me. And, you know, what can you do? And it's really hard to explain to people that aren't in the business that, because I take the wrath of everything because they leave me with everything to clean up. And you're like, you know, my God, man, I would never cancel anything, especially, you know, a week before an event or something. And you get these people that, you know, they just leave you to clean up the mess. And then you have really no, even though you have a contract, you have no recourse on these people. So Stacy and I learned, you know, and everything's a learning experience. It worked out well. Is that now we make sure when we sign a contract that we have at least a escrow account or a bond where they put our prize money in, you know, where we had that. So they were like, hey, cancel. At least we get to keep your prize money, you know.
Right.
As we go from there. But absolutely. Man, we're so excited. We finally, you know, got to announce we're 100% official with our Atlantic City contest. And I got to tell you, I did not realize there was so much interest out there on the East Coast for an event like this. I mean, I have just been blown up with requests and information to try and get on my website. And the problem that we're having now is we're working with the Atlantic City Alliance, which is kind of like their advertising and promotion commission over the entire city of, you know, Atlantic City. And they work for all the casinos, and they have an advertisement. I'm just kind of used to blowing and going as I go, but I don't even know the name of our contest at this point. I'm waiting on your other advertising agency to bring that up so we can get our website up. But the good thing is the contract's signed, the money's in the bank, and we're, you know, we're 100% sure the event's going on. What the unofficial name is right now, I think I got it today, was called the Smoking Hot Atlantic City Barbecue Championship, and which, hey, I'm cool. It doesn't matter to me or anybody else what the name is. We just want to know about that money. And this is guaranteed, Chad. This first event we're doing is guaranteed $50,000. And what we did was we signed a 5-year contract, and every year the casinos, and you got to think about it, there's like 20 casinos down there. So people think it's a lot of money, but to them it's like $2,200 a year or whatever it may be. But every year from this $50,000 for the 5 years until we get there, they're going to throw another $50,000 on it. And in the fifth year, we're going to be up to $250,000.
Holy that's, shit.
Man, you know, that's in right. As a matter of fact, if everything goes as well as planned and what we want, like I said, that's all. That's a said, done, and written deal.
That's close to what you've always said, man. You've always said if some guy can fish 3 days and win $500,000 at the Bassmasters Classic, I think if you turn in 4 good boxes, you should be able to win close to that.
Absolutely, and, brother. And we're kind of catching. Oh, hey, listen, I think when they see what we're doing, because you have so many casinos there, when you add it up, it's not that much money. You know what I'm saying? If everybody throws in, just think if everybody threw in $10,000 a year, all of a sudden you've got $200,000 there, and within 5 years, that's $1 million.
And it may be one of those things, Ronnie, we impress them this year. You know, we get, you know, and for them to understand that, you know, you'll be going against what is questionably the biggest weekend in barbecue.
Absolutely.
But to me, being a Southeast guy, not a Northeast guy, never cooked in New Jersey, one. Number two is, and I think you'll vouch for this, always follow those Ronnie Cates events.
I agree, brother. I'm catching. Go ahead, brother.
Been to Michigan, Nevada twice. You've only came to me once, Ronnie. All right? In Daytona. But, you know, I think there's going to be some guys. I mean, I was talking about it with some teams when I was in Middleton, Delaware.
Oh, yeah.
And let's take a guy like a Tom Barra. You know, Philly's line pig. He's cooked 40 contests. He just won his first grand.
Absolutely.
He's going to go to the Royal. Because, you know what? Everybody should do that. Everybody should go cook the Invitational and the Open.
Absolutely. But
I seem to call myself a little bit more of a businessman. If I can go half a distance and have a chance at twice the prize money, that's a pretty easy value proposition.
Absolutely. And we're getting a lot of that. Stacy and I talk about this all the time. And you know, obviously we try and please everybody. And we'll get into this about our long-term event, Mr. McLeod and myself, you know, we came to a great understanding that actually helped us both out. But when Atlantic City, when they're giving you all the money, all the everything, and they're your sponsors, and they say this is when your event's going to be, you can't say no. I mean, you know,
right.
It's just like that's the way it's got to be. And I understood going in that and here's the thing is, Chaz, like, obviously we're not trying to compete whatsoever with the who can compete with the Royal. We're not even trying whatsoever to compete with the Royal.
Giving people options.
Absolutely. And here's the thing is because I've been, you know how that is. You got to take the good with the bad. I'm one of those guys that I get 100 people to say it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, and one person says it sucks, and I take the suck to heart, you know. It is what it is, and there are, think of how many teams out there that aren't invited to the Kansas City Royal.
Exactly.
And so there's and like you said, I'm what we call here in the South, I'm a businessman, so we figure the void out there for the people that actually can't go to the Royal or weren't invited to the Royal, we give them another option. And I will have to tell you this, I have had umpteen teams that have been invited to the Royal that are bypassing that and coming to the thing we're doing in Atlantic City. So I think, like you said, when we get in, and again, obviously there's no competing against the Royal, but when we get into that, $200,000, $250,000, then people are going to start having to make some tough choices. And my theory always is why can't we be the premier barbecue venue in the world? Like I said, that again, not competing against the Royal, but I'm like you, brother. I get to walk away, the grand champion walks away with $100,000. That beats the hell out of walking away with whatever you're walking away with at these other places. So, and it's all about the money, and I really do. Atlantic City is it's a unique event. Because Stacy and I have been to every gambling mecca you can think of for Las Vegas. I think I loaned you $20 when you went to the bathroom, so you owe me $20, Chad. But when you put them all together, these people want to work with you. And we're talking, when I went down there, man, I mean, I was just blown away. Our area is like not even 20 feet from the boardwalk, and then you're from the boardwalk to the ocean. I mean, it's freaking phenomenal.
What I was going to say is, you know, and this is, you know, the sales guy and me talking for my real job. It feels very nice when people say you've got a commodity we want, and not when you're trying to say we've got something you need.
Absolutely, man. And that's what we knew, and we learned a lesson again with the Hugh Hefner thing I was talking about.
Yeah.
We learned a lesson from there. But now when I go visit people, because I used to travel on my own dime, I'm kind of like, you know, listen, if you want us to come, then, you know, you bring us down. You take care of us, and that way I know you're serious and blah, blah, blah. And that's the way things are happening. And Atlantic City wants to make this a signature event because there's nothing in the world like this, what they're talking about. And I got to tell you, man, when I announced it, I cannot build my website. I just want everybody out there to know this, too. And I put it on Facebook because I swear I get 30 to 50 emails, not a lie, 30 to 50 emails a day from teams and judges wanting to know how they can register. And I cannot get my website up because I got to wait till I can get the official logo and the name and everything from from the Alliance. So, and we're used to, I hate to say, I'm just kind of used to blowing and going and doing things on my own pace and ready to go.
You came out at the end of the show. You understand what me and Eric were talking about the hurry up and wait when it comes to TV shows.
Without a doubt. And he was great, man. As a matter of fact, he tickled me. I mean, he's a great contestant, by the way. I mean, that show was unreal, and I think he was a personality on there. And see, I think that's what barbecue needs is people like you and Eric and all these guys. We need these big personalities because, hey, brother, I know, I love you, but I know you're going big places, man, and you got big plans, and I admire that about you, too, because you're taking this sport to a different level, and you're doing a bunch of different things nobody's ever done. I mean, who in the world would have thought you'd have a talk show about barbecue? I mean, and then here you are. And my hat's off to you. And like I said, you know I love you, so I'm not brown-nosing you up there. I love what you're doing for the sport also because I catch grief because people say I'm ruining the sport because you're throwing all this money at it. That just blows me. And I know you can't say the F word on the radio, but I mean, it just blows me.
No, you're on internet radio. Actually, you know what? I'll go out there and say, if people say you're throwing money at it and you're screwed up, I'll say fuck that shit. Because we can do that on internet radio. Yeah, that's not going to hurt anybody at all.
You would be amazed. I swear to God. Sometimes Stacy's my crying shoulder or whatever. I'm always that like. I said, my guy, I go on the barbecue for him, and these people hate my guts because I'm raising the bar to $100,000 and $125,000, and they say I'm running the sport. And I'm like, I thought that's what we're all in it for. Now, there's a place for all of us. And if you want to cook for a ribbon or a trophy, you know, there's plenty of places for that.
But Ron,
if you want to cook for money, yes.
Let me ask you this. How sweet would it be as a cook team to go up there to New Jersey this year with $50,000 on the line? And let's say you win grand. And to win grand, you're going to get probably two top five calls. And you always pay deep. So you'll probably pay 14 or 20 deep at the contest.
Yeah. But that's exactly right.
But so you're going to walk out with, oh, gosh, 25, no, more than that. You're going to walk out with $3,500 in category money and then walk out with another $7,500 to $10,000 in GC money. So
it's 15,000 on the GC.
So,
yeah.
Okay, so let's say worst case, you GC that, and you're not a Rod Gray. You're not one of the you're a Northeast cook that cooks good barbecue. You win GC. You got your categories. You got $20,000 behind you. You're going into 2014 going, I've got my season paid for.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm going to go chase it this year. I've got my season paid for. You know, to me, that's the thing that you know, people want to talk about the money or this and that. Guess what? When the money's there, and I'll tell you what, down here in Florida and the FBA, I became kind of a dick about that. Is I went to a first-year contest 2 weekends ago. You know why we went? they paid down through 10 places, categories, and they paid down through 10 overall.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know what, Ronnie, do you know what the total prize pool was? 10 grand. It wasn't 25, it wasn't 50, it wasn't 100.
But still, they spread the love and everybody gets a little something, you know?
Right. I mean, we finished fifth overall and walked away with $925.
That's amazing.
And guess what? That pays for your weekend. It pays for your gas.
Oh, absolutely.
It you know, and it gives you a little bit to go on and cook the next weekend.
You're right, man. I mean, that's the whole key is I see these contests that pay just three places overall. I'm like, man, just, you know, spread the love around, because as long as – and we've even started this, Chad. We're trying to – and we've got a deal working now. We haven't got it closed, but with one of the big box stores, we'll call it or whatever, where we're getting to the point where every single person that enters at least gets a $25 gas card. You know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And then that way, man, they get a little more gas. And I'm even saying this, especially, and Stacey will verify this, when we were in Laughlin, you know, you spend $2,000 on these trophies, and they get shipped, and then they come, they're all broken, they're tore to hell.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, you know, man, why don't I just say I spent $200 on that trophy? Why don't I get you a $200 gas card or a $200 gift certificate,
right,
or $200 something instead of the trophy, and we give you a nice little plaque or something else like that, but instead of the 10-foot trophy and everything else, let's give you some gas money, or let's give you this and that. And that's how we're starting to look at things. We're also starting to look at different ways of doing things as far as, for example, Laughlin. I got to go to Laughlin. And so here we are in Laughlin. Our grand champion is winning a 2014 fully loaded twin cab Silverado pickup truck. All taxes paid. All fees are paid. You got the title. You can go to the street and sell it to Johnny for 30 grand if you don't want it, whatever you want. But, I mean, you have that vehicle, and we have signed a deal. We've got, like, with Budweiser, and we're trying to reconfigure things, too. Obviously, the money's the good thing. But, I mean, how can you beat a brand-new Chevrolet twin cab pickup truck? Because, like I said, if you don't want it, you can sell it to any dick, because you're walking away title-free with all your insurance, I mean, all your taxes, fees, everything's paid, and if you don't want it, you can go to the nearest dealership there, because this is a $50,000 vehicle. If they give you 30 grand, brother, you know, take your 30 grand if you don't want the truck.
Yeah,
Then we had the same thing like Budweiser. Budweiser's like, man, okay, instead of, because here's what we're finding. A lot of sponsors are kind of tightening up on their money because they want a return on their investment, you know.
Yep.
And you can't guarantee that it's not going to rain, it's not going to snow, it's not going to do whatever. But then they're like saying, well, how about if I give you a 10-day Alaskan cruise, you know, for two, that's valued at $20,000 and all taxes paid and everything else like that. And maybe that's when you get the grant, or the reserve grand champion or whatever,
nope,
a little extra money and the cruise,
yeah,
you know, on top of that.
The nice part you've done about that, Ronnie, that a lot of game shows and this and that don't look at is taxes included. You're going to walk away with that prize, whether it be a truck, whether it be a cruise, you know, whatever it may be. You're going to walk away with it free and clear.
You're going to have the title when you leave. You're going to have the title in your hand, and you could literally that day, and matter of fact, to be honest with you, the dealership Stacey, you're supposed to remind me of this, Finley Motors, which is donating the vehicle. They were literally, if you say, hey, man, who needs a brand-new twin cab pickup truck? I'll sell it back to you. They'll buy it right back from you and pay you cash on the spot. But you leave, like I said, it's not like Wheel of Fortune where you won the $50,000 automobile, and all of a sudden you owe $8,000 taxes and fees and everything else. You walk away title free in your hand. So that's what we're just trying new and different ways to get these things going, because nowadays there's just only limited sponsorship dollars out there. And so we're trying to find new and unique ways to entice the people to come regardless. And when we say we'll always have the cash there too, but we're trying to find unique things that we can give to the public. And Stacey, you got anything to say about that? Is she still on the air?
Things to the public? Yeah, I'm just, hey, yeah. You've told me 1,000 times you suck the air out of a room. It's trying
but
to get in here.
She is. Jump in, darling.
No, I'm good. I'm not getting away from Laughlin, because that is, I'm so pumped about Laughlin and the truck, and those people are great, and Laughlin loves Smoke on the Water. Everybody needs to know that. They accommodate to the max, more than anywhere we've ever been. They really do. They're great people. They're not corporate, you know. They're privately owned, so they just knock it out of the park as far as taking care of our team.
And room rate stays $39 for a room, and if you have an RV, $11 a night if you want to stay across. They have this unbelievable RV park, you know, right across the thing. And we will say this: when we were just out there in May. The hotel was sold out, and year-to-year dates that they have from their gambling revenue and everything else like that, they broke every record since they've been open when we had our event out there. And so they are very happy with what we're doing out there. And like Jen said, because I set the oxygen out of the room when I talk a little bit here.
If I didn't love you, I couldn't say that.
But to go to the go back to Laughlin, I want to say this. Just for example, this is where the barbecue world kind of comes together, and we work together with me and Mr. McLeod that we were talking about. And the World Food Championships originally, because I said, hey, we talk. Mike is a very good friend of mine, and we talk and we discuss things. And again, when Mr. Don Laughlin says, this is when I want to then, I can't go back to him and say this, well, we can't have, you know, we can't have the event then. And so I talked to Mike, and at first, you know, we were like, hey, that really wasn't a conflict or anything else. But then we found out it was a conflict because some people were torn, you know. They're like, hey, man, they're giving away $100,000 down there and blah, blah, blah. And so what we decided was, and this was brought up by Mike, and it worked out great for all of us, where the World Food Championships were moved a week after ours.
Yeah.
And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to create this unbelievable, humongous contest, because we're like the people that go to the World Food Championship. I believe, Chad, you got to be set up by like a Thursday anyway at the World Food Championship.
I'm a guy that's already qualified for the World Food Championships.
And
I will tell you exactly what I'm doing. I'm coming in on Wednesday to your event, and I'll stay with Mr. Laughlin Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. And then on Tuesday night, we will move our gear to Vegas.
Absolutely.
One, because you know what? I like old school Vegas. And that's what Mr. Laughlin is. He's old school Nevada. So that's why I want to be there. If I leave Wednesday morning, I can get all my gear set up, this and that, and be ready for crack of dawn on Thursday.
Absolutely.
And then I'll stay up there in the, you know, whoever's hosting it deal, you know, for while we're at the World Food Championships. But from a barbecue point of view, the World Food Championships are done on Saturday.
That's right.
I'll be flying home Sunday because I'm actually bringing an extra carry-on just for all the craps chips. I plan on bringing them back.
Bubba,
hey, I'm going to make Mr. Laughlin chase me down in Vegas with all his crap chips.
He chased us down. Hey, we were there, so we understand that. And I trust Stacy, this is all our inside joke. You know, we were hot on the tables in Vegas. Miss Haynes was in the bathroom. She made a good friend in there, but she she was talking to a good friend in there. We had like an hour row that was one of the hottest rows I've ever seen in my life. And she went there. And then she got mad at me in the morning, Chad, because I was making her carry $10,000 on the plane because I could only carry so much.
You guys that haven't listened to the show before, I will tell you one thing about Ronnie Cates. Look, I'm a craps guy. You'll see me $5 yo, $10 yo. Hey. When I'm hot, quarter yo. Ronnie Cates will throw that black chip right in the middle and go, $100 yo. And for you guys to listen to the show, you hit $100 yo, a couple of them, it's going to be a pretty damn large night. It's going to be a good time.
We hit eight of them, to be honest, when we did that. So we hit eight because of my little nephew, everybody was throwing.
Yeah.
Everything else, it was phenomenal. I still got the picture with my chips in my hand and your chips in your hand.
Yes. All right, brother. A little bit of a lightning round before I got to close you out. I got a third guest to finish the show with.
Okay. Yeah, here you go, brother.
Lightning round. Anybody, is there, so for the AC contest, is there a host casino? Or do you think there'll be three or four casinos offering deals?
Yes, there will be, because we're working with Atlantic City Alliance, so all the casinos will be offering a deal, and you can pick any casino that you want, and they have shuttle buses that go, like they come by like every 10 minutes, you know, when they come in. The parking lot that we're closest to is the Tropicana, but man, if you've been on the boardwalk, bro, I'll get one of those guys with a rickshaw, and he pushes my ass, you know, right to wherever I got to go, so... there will be a special hotel room rate, and there will be several different casinos that are on the boardwalk. Yes.
All right. Tunica, Mississippi, still $50,000, still ready to rock and roll September this year, right?
That's correct. We're working on that as we speak. Miss Stacy's going to start hard on that Monday with some sponsors, and that's at Harris. It's called the Smoking Aces.
And the next weekend, for us guys are going to drive all the way from Florida to cook Tunica. The next weekend, we've got Pine Bluff, $25,000, correct?
Which is
where it all started, Chad.
Yep, and that's less than Chad, a 2-hour drive, brother.
And I think I've told you once, and I'm going to remind you again. I'm parking my rig in your house.
No, I was going to say that's a good thing. You know, I'm not going to invite everybody, but you can come to my house and park your rig.
I ain't going to say I'm going to live there, Ronnie. I'm just saying let me park my rig, let me fly out during the week, take care of business, and then I'll be back.
I'm saying you, brother, you're welcome. I got plenty of room. I say for everybody else out there.
Hey, Ronnie Cates. I don't think my liver nor your liver could handle me and you standing on the same roof for 4 or 5 hours.
Hey, I'm going to give an amen on that because that's what we Southerners do. Amen.
We have to have our resident nurse, Kirby Cates, there just to check her body.
That's right. She's a nurse. She can't check her make sure we're hydrated, especially when you go out in the morning and everything.
There you go.
That is correct. And I do want to say this, and I know you got to go, but even the people that do come down, we have a place that people can store their cookers that are locked with 24 hours. You know, they'll be locked up with 24-hour security and everything else like that. So folks that come down and they want to park their cooker anywhere or whatever, We will have 24-hour security. They can just park it there. Where they can literally, because we rent the park, we have the park for the entire week, they can literally come and even drop it off, like wherever their spot is at, leave it and roll from there, and then we will have a host hotel there and everything else from there.
Awesome. Well, Ronnie, you know what I'm excited about? Is it looks like Whiskey Bent Barbecue is cooking four Smoke on the Water events between now and the end of the year.
Let me
throw this in there about Atlantic City.
Please.
You know, they had the tornadoes and everything are fresh on our minds, and they had a rough go with the hurricanes and the flooding and everything, and so they're really trying to pump their city back up. And kind of like the Boston Strong motto, they've got the Do AC motto. So, American thing to do to benefit, you know, to try to help benefit their economy, because we tend to forget if it's not right in our face. Like Oklahoma's on my mind daily, just because, you know, it could so easily be Arkansas.
Could have been y'all. Louisiana. You're right.
So, but anyway, just going to throw that out there. I'm so very excited. Never been into New Jersey in my life. I think barbecue's going to show them a new way of life.
Smithy's going to be a judge, by the way.
I'm sorry?
I said Snooky is going to be a judge, by the way.
Well, guys, Ronnie, Stacy, we could fill up 2 hours ourselves just talking. But I'm so excited to hear about AC. I love what you guys do. It's awesome, man. Keep doing what you do. There's so much stuff behind the scenes that none of us know. And the time commitments and the financial commitments and all those things that Smoke on the Water Productions does, we love it. And, hey, at the end of the day, there's no sweeter woman than Miss Betty. I cannot wait.
Absolutely.
I cannot wait to give her a kiss on the cheek next time I see her. I love that.
Well, we appreciate you, my brother.
All right.
Be careful, man. Great all talking right. to you.
Hey, pleasure, guys. Take care.
Thanks.
Night-night. All right, guys, we've got Ronnie Case and Stacy out. Not even going to a sponsor plug. We're going right over to Jeff Kayer, Swino's. Kayer, what's up?
How's it going, Chad?
Dude, I'm so sorry. We're late as hell, but Ronnie Case and Stacy, that's my people.
It's all good. I've been listening and enjoying it, man.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys right now, me and Jeff are going to go after dark. So what's going to happen is we've got about 8 minutes left of this live broadcast. It's going to cut off.
Sounds good.
It's going to go black ops. It's over. You wait about 5 minutes. You can come back to Blog Talk Radio, the same link, fast forward to the 120-minute point, and listen to me and Jeff finish off. Or you can go to iTunes, download it, fast forward to the 120 mark, and then listen to me and Jeff finish it off, because we're going to put some brewmaster tips out there at the end of this thing that's going to be kind of hot. First off, Jeff, I've got to ask you before we get into this barbecue scorecard, this and that, I need to hear the first verse of Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Yeah. You've been talking to Griff.
No, I have not. I was looking down our line of songs here, and I was like, Jeff, a musical genius, I am feeling Pour Some Sugar on Me.
That is too funny. No, you don't want to hear me sing, especially no Def Leppard.
Can I just get one note?
I'll save that for after the 120 mark.
All right, perfect. By the way, Griff, you owe me a package of boudin. Thank you. All right. So anyway, Jeff Kayer, Swine News Barbecue. For you guys that aren't FBA cooks, Jeff is a awesome guy. You know, band director. You know, numerous state superiors. The guy takes his his craft very seriously, and he takes his barbecue very seriously, but he's an all-around super, super fun guy. Jeff, good to have you on the show, man. It's hard to talk to you like this because we're such good friends. But it's good to have you on the show, and you've got something that we've talked about a little bit, and that's this new FBA scorecard that you proposed.
Yes, sir. Yes, I'm really excited about this. You know, I've spent my whole career in a subjective world. I'm a music teacher, and every event that I go to and my band performs, I get creative feedback. I get constructive feedback on my product, and that helps me become a better band director. It helps my students become better musicians. Yet when we go to the FBA, we're not getting feedback. We're just getting numbers. And so I've come up with a sheet that is very simple on the judge's end to fill out, yet when the team gets it back, there's very specific feedback to make us all better cooks, therefore making the whole FBA just crank up their quality with all the cook teams.
Well, you know, and you talk about we don't get much feedback, but we get more feedback than the KCBS team does.
Oh, absolutely.
But because at least we know the table numbers.
Right.
So we can look at a soft table, a hard table, you know, this and that.
That's great. It's feedback as to where we fall on the table as far as placement, but it's not feedback on the product itself. And that's what I'd really like to see.
Well, and for you guys that haven't, go over to Whiskey Bent on Facebook if you haven't seen it already, and you'll see the scorecard. Florida Barbecue Association at the top, judges' comment sheet. You check the category that you're judging, chicken, ribs, pork, or brisket. Team number, I would believe, and judge name.
Right.
All
right,
so down here on the left, Jeff, you've got presentation. Five criteria. You've got organization, quantity, color, sauce, variety, and then other. So me and you haven't talked through this. So let me take variety. If I see a plus in variety, that means maybe I put thighs and wings in the box. Maybe I put thighs and breast meat in the box. You're telling me keep going down that path. From a presentation point of view, it looked good.
Right. Basically, the pluses and minuses on this sheet are basically designed as a plus means this helped your score.
Yeah.
A minus means this counted against you. So a lot of people are saying, okay, on salt content, does a plus mean too much salt, or does a plus mean the salt was good? A plus means that this helped your score.
Yeah.
A minus means, now, down there on notes is where they can say, if they put a minus on salt content, they could say this was way too salty. And it doesn't take that much time to do on the judge's end.
Well, you know, the way I look at it is there's an hour between turn-ins. In the FBA. If I'm the sixth box judge at a table,
right,
and you told me my box was going to sit an extra 3 minutes, so 30 seconds per category or per evaluation,
right,
I'd be perfectly fine with that.
Well, and I don't even think it's going to be that long, because literally once they get used to this scorecard, currently they're writing down a number for each category.
Yeah.
With this, they're putting down a number and a check mark, or a number and a plus, or
yeah,
a number and a couple of pluses. That's it. I mean, we're talking seconds. We're not talking minutes.
Well, and honestly, these are all things they should be going through in their mind.
Right.
So, presentation. We've laid out that criteria, guys. In the middle, we've got taste. Meat flavor. So, meat flavor. If it's great, plus.
Correct.
Sweet, check mark, plus. Salt, you can skip salt. If you think it's meat flavor, sweet, smoke, and spice, you can check those three, leave salt out, and somebody goes, okay, well, you know, just keep doing what I'm doing.
That's exactly right.
Scores of 10 on taste. Awesome.
If it's left blank, it means, you know, it was pretty equivalent with what I scored.
Yeah.
A plus meant, hey, this was outstanding. And a minus. So, I mean, it's not a terribly difficult thing to do. And I'll be honest with you, I've been a judge for the Florida Bandmasters Association for about 12 years now. And I've judged a lot of bands, a lot of solos. And this is similar to that sheet, and it takes seconds to do. Once you learn the sheet, it takes seconds to do, and it gives honest, heartfelt feedback, which is going to make the cook teams much better.
I've got one question in chat, Jeff.
Yes.
Have you ever judged a contest?
Have I ever judged a contest? I have not judged, and this is a great question, I have not judged a barbecue contest. Partially, I have cooked every contest that I've been able to be involved with. I have cooked every single contest that has been within driving distance and has fit in my schedule because I prefer to cook. Other members of my team have judged, and it's quite difficult to get in the judging. They were fortunate enough to get on the waiting list and get in on this contest, but that is a good question. And have I judged a contest? No. Have I judged in the band world with the same type of sheet? I've done it for 12 years.
Well, and Jeff, the band world's been around forever and a day.
Right.
And to me, I mean, you sit there and you think about, I mean, a lot of us think because we cook 10 or 12 contests a year, you know, some of us like us will cook 15, 20 contests a year. Some people like Rub will cook 35 contests a year.
Right.
But you guys on the band side, you've got really one evaluation point in time. And your whole year is culminated to that.
Correct.
Well, guess what? Here's why I want this. Is because there's those guys that cook 3 or 4 contests a year. And they're here. They're in the Imperial Polk County.
Yep,
or they're
right.
In some county up in Georgia that has 3 or 4 contests. And you know what? You know what's going to happen? If they don't get this feedback, they're going to quit our hobby.
And that's funny because...
because
right
they get
in the
frustrated.
Chat, in the chat, somebody said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yeah, honestly think it is broke. Because every cook team, I don't know about you, but I am broke. I'm putting $1,000 into these contests and not getting feedback. I'm broke. And I think that the system is broke as well as far as they're not giving feedback to make their teams better. I think that this can really kick up the level.
I just look at it as, you know, and I don't know if my call-ins work. After, I don't think they do after hours. Hold on a second. I've got two judges in the chat that if you don't mind, Jeff, I'd love to bring in.
I'd love to.
All right. So do me a favor, Neil, try to call. I took my number down. 347-202-0263. 347-202-0263. Neil, I see you in chat. You're my buddy. Try to call in. If you can call in, great. If you can't, tell me in chat. We'd love to have you and Don Parker come in here. And maybe we let Jeff present his case today, and then me, you, Jeff, Bob, Neil, have a round table next week. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd love it.
But if you can get in now, Neil, try it. 347-202-0263. I don't think you can.
And that's possible.
Yeah. Because we're after hours.
There's a lot of talk about this. It's going to be too difficult. In fact, I even got a keep it simple, stupid comment on here. That's exactly what I was thinking when I designed this sheet. If all we're getting back is a number, and I'm seeing some people say, oh, yeah, if it doesn't work, we try something new. Well, we've been doing that as well.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, the things that have honest and truly made us better is people like you that test it and give us honest feedback. And that's why every contest, we always try to find someone that'll listen and give us honest feedback.
Or, you know, not even that, Jeff, as much as me giving you my stuff.
Right.
And you go, oh, that hit well today. Well, what did I pick up different than ours? Well, it had a little bit of kick at the end. It, you know, it was, but besides that, it was kind of just good, you know?
Yep.
And that's, you know, and that's what you're looking for.
Right.
To me, my thoughts are, and you're right. I'm just like you, Jeff. I've never been to a judging seminar. I won't get trained as a judge. I won't.
Right.
I may do this for 40 years, and I'll never go to judge training. And call me stupid, maybe. But it's one of those things, I just don't want that peek under the sheets.
Yeah.
Well, I want to believe in what we do, man. I want to believe in what we love, brother.
I 100% agree with that. I don't mind becoming a judge, but that's not what I'm in it for. It's really unusual to see how separate they are, because hearing this question of have you ever judged a contest, I could give you stories of judges that have never cooked a contest. Numerous stories. So I think that we need to work together, and I think that's kind of the first step here, is let's start educating our judges of what cook teams do, and let's start educating our cook teams as to what judges do. And one thing I want to make real clear to some of the people that are criticizing this isn't a final product. This is a suggestion. This is a let's move this direction. And if they have something better, bring it. I want to see it. But if they're saying that the system is perfect the way it is, I disagree. I think it's very broke.
Well, I think we've got to evolve. You know, the cook teams have evolved. The smokers have evolved. All these things have evolved. But the scoring is still that same. And you know what? At the end of the day, we're in a more data overload world.
Yep.
We you know, Jeff, let's be honest. I put a Facebook post up. You put a Facebook post up. If we don't have a couple of likes within 15 minutes, we're like, shit, why do we even put that up?
Yep. It's funny. I have yet to see a cook team that has looked at this and said, I hate the idea. Every cook team has just looked at this and gone, oh, my gosh, this is exactly what we want.
I'm going to tell you right now, I freaking love this.
Well, I tried to keep it simple and make it meaningful.
Here's the deal. I can take this, and let's say I finished 19th in pork last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say, okay, I'm going to make two changes. You know, I'm going to go with a different finishing rub, and I'm going to spice up my injection a little bit. Well, now I know nothing's changing in presentation. Nothing should be changing in tenderness, but let me focus on these five criteria in taste.
Right.
And what do I get from six judges?
You ought to get some great feedback.
Exactly. And my thoughts on it are, I've got a lot of friends that are judges. And somebody's just got to, and maybe, are you available next Tuesday, Jeff?
I will make myself available next Tuesday, absolutely.
Okay, well I'm going to take, and we're going to do if Bob Parker and Neil are available, we're going to do a 45-minute roundtable on this judge's comment sheet.
That's right.
And, And I don't want it to be, I don't want it to be ugly.
No. Nope.
I want it,
nope.
I want it to be objective. I want it to be, this is what's great about it from our world, cook guys wise. You know, tell us what sucks about it from your world, judge wise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and let's talk about this because, brother, you are really onto something.
Well, I think so too. One of the comments that an adjudicator made about this, a judge made about this, is what happens if one judge says it's too salty and the other judge says it's not salty enough? I'm like, that's the world we live in.
Right.
It's happening right now, but
yeah.
We're not told. And so they're keeping us in the dark because they're afraid of contradictions. And in the music world, and I'm going to bring that back up, I can't tell you how many times I get contradictions of two different judges. And you know what I do as a teacher? I write them off.
Take
I say they cancel each other out. One says it's too salty. One says it's not salty enough. Don't touch it. Until we get three out of the six judges or five out of the six that say, this is too salty, now I'm going to do something about it. And so I cannot continue in a profession that I don't get better at. And we have been getting better.
Right.
But I want to get better at an exponential rate right now. I want to get better much quicker. And the only way to do that is to get feedback from the judges.
Jeff, I love it. I love the passion. So here's what we're going to do next week. I'm bringing you on 15 minutes early. You're going to give us a swine's background. Because I think that is key to where this came from.
Right. Absolutely
okay?
It is.
So you're coming on 15 minutes early. We're going to talk about your background with, you know, being the pit master of Swinos. And then we're going to do a 45-minute roundtable. Me, you, hopefully Neil can make it. Hopefully Bob can make it. If they can't, I'm sure we can find two other judges. But Neil and Bob are great listeners of the show, great judges. And, you know, I just want to get their, like I said, constructive criticism. And let's work through this. Because I think at the end of the day, you know, maybe what you've got right now isn't utopia, but I think it's a good start.
And I am all for suggestions to make this better, make it easier, make it more efficient. But I think that we need to move somewhere. This is a starting point. And
well,
if Neil and Bob say, we can do this, but let's do this and this and this to make it easier on the contest organizers, count me in. Count
let's
me
just
in.
Not, let's just not people shit on it and bury it.
Right.
Because that's why we're the same hobby we've been since 1995.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
But let's not lose these guys that are getting frustrated after 5, 6, 10 contests.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's give them some feedback to get better.
Yeah, it's expensive. I could take my whole team on a deep sea charter fishing trip for what it cost me to enter a weekend.
Sure, absolutely.
And we wouldn't come. Well, we may still come home frustrated, but
yeah, maybe. Well, Jeff,
all right,
I appreciate the time so much, and I'm so sorry for getting to you late. But I think this has actually been it's kind of a blessing. Because I think we've introduced people to enough of it that we're going to have a really, really good conversation next week. And
I think that we ought to have them all sign in. We'll start advertising it tonight.
And you know what? I've got to go out to the West Coast tomorrow. But I'm coming in late Friday night. And you know where I'm going to be Saturday?
You're going to be at my place.
Swinolicious,
here it is.
Dude,
this week.
I cannot wait, and I'm bringing your table and your chairs back when I come.
Oh, fantastic. That sounds great.
So, no, brother, looking forward to it, man. I will see you guys Saturday, and I cannot wait till the discussion next Tuesday night. And I believe
it'll
be a good discussion.
All right, we'll talk to you on Saturday.
Sounds good, buddy. Thank you.
All right, Chad. We'll see you.
All right, guys. Jeff Kayer, Swinos BBQ. Great guy. Even better friend. Jeff's a great fella. And just so you can talk to him about so many different things. Such an educated guy. Love him to death. All right, guys, this is wrapping us up. We are 14 minutes late, and we're going next week. You already heard. We're going to spend an hour talking about this scorecard, and we're going to have a judges and cooks roundtable. Hope you can join us. Till then, keep the pit lit. Hold on. Pulling up Dorsey O'Dell. Hold on. Good God, who loaded all this music in here? One more time.
Let her go, Chadwick. Turn up your radio. Bail the whiskey and drink it down slow. It's Whiskey Bent in the pit. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't shit. Outlaw Barbecue Show. He's an all-night smoker, a cold beer holder. His spare ribs will blow your mind. And with his Cosmos Chew and his Green Mountain Grills, he'll walk the stage every time. Turn on your radio, crack a beer, Chad's ready to go. It's Whiskey Ben in the pit all night, late night. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't right. Outlaw Barbecue Show. Whiskey Ben in the Pit Radio Show. Good for the egg shakes and sack it. Can I get a raise? Hell, come on. Woo.